This is the Andrick Buffet Podcast, episode number 541, recorded Thursday, June 3rd, 2021, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Okay, I'm done.
I wanted to hear you riff a bit more.
No, I'm done riffing. I'm good. Ha ha.
So it's another week.
True.
Yeah, not as perky as I would normally be.
Well, you've been up for many, many, many hours. Many more hours than expected. So
I want to know why suddenly the device that's supposed to be running the stream went from a countdown to devices offline.
That's troublesome. You ever have one of those days where just nothing seems to quite work out?
So is the device offline or is the device not offline? I do not know.
Either way, let's just hope that Daryl, who is listening, or when he was in a moment ago, actually hears this recording so he can enjoy it. In the meantime,
sorry, Daryl.
Yeah. It just, you ever have one of those periods where things just don't quite work out? I actually tried to buy something to enhance the show. There was the sale on this little device. And I said, okay, I'll invest in it. It's, 50% off. And it didn't show up. And so I contacted Amazon and they said, sorry, it's lost. And we'll essentially cancel the order and you can order a new one. And I said, well, it's $120 more than it was. So they dealt with that to their credit. Then two of them showed up when I got back. And so the lost one and the not lost one. And I really get disappointed when it is harder to do the right thing than to not do the right thing. Have you ever tried to convince Amazon how to get them to take back an item that they sent to you twice?
I try, and then I give up, and I keep them both.
Well, no, I tried. They kept telling me, well, what you have to do is you have to put it in a box. I said, well, are you giving me a box? No. I said, okay, well, fine, if I find a box. Oh, well, we'll send you a label, and then you have to drive it to a UPS facility. I said, well, UPS will pick up at my house. Why can't you send them to me? We don't do that. Okay, well, you sent me two items. Why can't you do that? So they agreed to do it, and then UPS shows up at the house, drops off a label, and leaves, despite the fact they're supposed to pick up a package. So I contacted Amazon again. Apparently, they finally gave up.
Huh. We have the most awesome return experience like ever with Amazon. I go onto the website and say, I want to return this. And it says why. I tell them why. And they say, okay, take it to Kohl's. We take it to Kohl's and drop it off. Don't put it in a box or anything.
Well, remember, that's the scenario where you wanted the item. I wanted one of the item. Two of the items showed up and I was trying to give back the item that I didn't pay for. I expect them to make that easier. They didn't give me the option of taking it to a Kohl's. Not that I want to go to a Kohl's. Who wants to go to a Kohl's?
I imagine that at a certain scale, it costs more to deal with these one-off, the system didn't work quite right instances than to just say, you know what, keep it.
In this case, the issue is that I would expect a nice, easy process where they do not make it difficult. I just said, come and get it, and it's yours. They did not succeed in doing that.
One would expect that them sending two things, when you ordered one thing,
Yes.
Is probably a rare occurrence and not the way the system is supposed to work. And when things go in a way that is not normal to the system, dealing with those things is exceedingly expensive. Probably exceeds the value of whatever it was.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there should be an easy way to deal with this. I'm not failing to understand.
If there was an easy way to do it, that easy way would exist because it was more common. It being more common would be a bad thing.
Oh, no, they finally did the easy thing I asked them to do. Then UPS dropped the ball. Again, Amazon did exactly what I asked them to do. It took some convincing, but they agreed to schedule a pickup of the item. The fact that UPS showed up at my door, did not ring the doorbell, and walked away is not Amazon's fault. It was only when I contacted Amazon and said, well, what would you like me to do now? Could you send them back? That they finally gave up. Anyway, I now also have two automatic bed levelers for my 3D printer. I should raffle one off.
What you got?
This is a Creality BL Touch Auto Bed Leveling Kit that got lost in the mail. And now, maybe over the weekend, I'll have time to actually install and configure it.
You should probably hang on to that BL Touch. Put it in a nice box and store it somewhere, because BL Touches don't have the longest lifespan. So hang on to it. You may need a spare in the future.
Yeah, I know you, that the probe does die, according to what I've read on the subject. Either way, the cable—I gathered the cable and the software configuration is the harder part, because you have to run the cable through the wiring loom. And I watched the video, but you know, I am going to just apologize that you hear me always sort of complain. I'm looking for the ideal experience, and I know it's never going to happen. Most of the time, I do not have a problem. It just, when I have a problem, I feel like they are not learning from their experiences. But anyway, so in other interesting, good, and potentially good news, we have a nice set of articles here. Not quite as long as a few weeks ago when Google I.O. was on, but you know, it can't always be a Google I.O. week. By the way, Daryl has commented that he has a bed leveler. It is folded sheets of paper.
You fold them?
Yeah, I'm.
I normally use them flat.
Well, I'm just wondering if Daryl's talking about what he uses to level when his literal bed is not level, or what he does to for automatic bed leveling on a 3D printer. And I still have not mastered 3D printing, but I had one, the one person who sort of put it into perspective was the person who said, why don't you just spend more on the printer so you didn't have to spend this? But, you know, I like tinkering.
Good. That's, yeah. 3D printers are good for that.
Yeah, and the Ender is considered a tinkerer printer. So I could have possibly spent more money on something that would just let me print out of the box without problem, but I learned some stuff. I might not have learned what a Bowden tube was. Anyway, moving along, we'll talk a little about some Android stuff and some other news. Android 12 blocks apps from replacing the share sheet.
I wonder if this was a security thing.
Essentially, yes. There were several apps that were maliciously taking over the share sheet. So it's one thing to register a share target so that you can be on the share sheet. It's another thing to take over the share sheet entirely.
Totally agree.
So I think, you know, initially, like a lot of things in Android, Google did say, you know, we're going to let you override anything in the system. I think, you know, there are a few things that they've had to walk back. And to some degree, that's disappointing. But it's not disappointing on the part of Google. I don't consider this an example of them locking up the keys to the garden, which in some cases I would. I think this is more of, that is a place where too many people have taken advantage of it in a negative way, that it is a system function that you'd be nervous about letting a third party fully take over. Sure. So you can add a target, but you can't take over the functionality that pops it up anymore. if you are a Google TV user, they're preparing to support multiple user profiles.
Awesome.
Yeah. By the way, Daryl is making comments again. He refuses to share sheets. He uses them to level his bed. He also noted that you buy the Tinkerworthy product to learn and prepare you for the next level.
Just kind of exactly what I did. Now I'm building from scratch, a new 3D printer. And the experience that I got in trying to get my Tronxy to actually give a good print is invaluable. Now building a printer from scratch is surprisingly not that difficult.
I just think Daryl is being very punny today. But either way, I'm happy because last week I was not at home. This week I'm at home, which means I can maybe take the weekend and fiddle with the printer, install the bed leveling, and the two initial prints I did, which are Wyze camera mounts, I can mount to fix my camera problems. Assuming I feel up to it after the long week I've had. But anyway, let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes. There's an interesting article, Why Apple Doesn't Care That a Quarter of All iPhone Users Eventually Switch to Android.
So why don't they care?
Well, why would you expect them to? Does that really affect their bottom line? So just to say, if you just quote the article, here we are. During the Epic Games versus Apple trial, internal documents showed evidence of meaningful switching of smartphone users quarter over quarter. So one of the interesting quarter 1 2020 to 2020 is the period that typically follows the announcement of these iPhones. So essentially, they haven't necessarily proved that people are leaving Apple in large numbers. They have sort of proved that not everybody is happy with iOS. And the reason why it's in large number involves a lot of things, one being the reasons why people switch. Sometimes people switch because they do not see the value proposition of Apple. Apple, whatever you can say about it, is a boutique brand. So a boutique brand essentially means that there are other brands that charge less money. And if you feel like things are not working out, then you might choose to switch to something that is less expensive and offers you a better experience. In your opinion. And again, opinion is variable.
Right. But one would assume that if they don't switch, they would still be Apple customers, which seems like that would be a good thing.
For Apple?
Yeah. I mean, if a third of your customers don't come back, then imagine
there are people who switch back and forth.
They did. They would probably be buying more machines. I don't know, just odd.
How about this? Android Runtime is now part of Project Mainline.
Who?
So the Android Runtime is now under the Project Mainline umbrella. So this is how apps perform across all devices. So just to quote the article on this, there are a bunch of and Project Mainline is an extension of what Google did with Project Treble to make it easier phone makers to update their products and keep every phone more up to date regarding critical features and security. So Mainline updates things through the Play Store as opposed to updating through an OTA update. So apparently the Android Runtime is now going to be something that can be updated through the Play Store, not necessarily through.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, cool, but crazy.
Sorry. One of those days where the computer that I'm using to show the articles on the screen just decided to log me out. Fun. Anyway, moving along. So Google has added a photo shortcut for Gmail attachments. So you can now go into Gmail and save your photos that are attached directly to your photos account.
See, this is another one of those refinements that one might think, why was this not always an option? But
well, the thing
it's
is
really useful.
they're separate products, but it's really good product integration. I get a photo from somebody. Absolutely. Why do I not want to save that photo directly to my photo album? Now, the question is whether or not if you do that, are you taking up the storage space twice? I'm curious.
I suspect you are.
I would like it if you didn't. I would like it if doing that deleted the attachment and then updated the email where it was stored to just link directly to the version that you're now serving through Photos.
That might freak me out a little bit.
Well, again, like anything, I think that makes sense. Why do you want to have two copies of something?
But why would you want saving a thing to modify the thing that it was saved from?
It's not. It's pointing at one, at your local copy of a file instead of your other local copy of a file.
They could also have an email with an attachment. After you save it, you now have an email with a pointer. It has to modify. It would have to modify the original
email. But they're both, in theory, part of your Google storage. They're in the same account.
I'm don't disagree with that. But
so I'm saying, why do I need two copies of the same thing in my account? I just want one.
I'm just saying, principle of least surprise.
Okay. Speaking of that, just to circle back, there's some great comments in our live chat where Michael has commented, Apple is Gucci.
One makes purses, another makes jeans.
Again, the difference between what I said, a boutique brand versus a non-boutique brand. Android is the thing that, you know, the average person can get like 15 different flavors of. So that's the jeans. You know, Gucci is the luxury product that may, again, objectively speaking, you're paying as much for the name as you are for the product.
Huh. I always thought of Apple as being the everyday man phone system because easier to use than Android.
But would you say that it isn't a boutique brand?
I would not. Okay. I don't know what boutique brand means.
Essentially, where you were paying as much for the name as anything else.
Oh. No. Okay. I think Apple prices, considering the hardware and the software development that goes into them, are priced relatively reasonably. Maybe they weren't in the past, but they certainly seem to be now.
Again, they have tried to expand. The other question that was asked is, who sends photos by Gmail?
Just when you want a high quality copy of it, it's probably the best way.
Well, I'm going to more go with that's how most people send me photos.
We use WhatsApp quite a bit to send photos around.
Yeah, but and
what you WhatsApp end up really annoys very me. Low quality version.
Well, also WhatsApp annoys me because. So I do have WhatsApp, and I'm not sure. I think I've mentioned my butcher who comes through WhatsApp.
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so the butcher sends, he doesn't have a website or a shop. Well, he does have a shop. There's actually a physical business, but I'm saying for his delivery service, he does not have, you know, a website or an email list or anything. What he does is he posts the specials as graphics in a WhatsApp chat that you can be invited to. So what happens is those get saved to my phone and then the automatic backup sends them to Photos. So I have photos full of weekly menus, which again, I cannot figure out how to stop that from happening. I haven't looked very aggressively. You know, when you're looking through your memories online, which is what Photos consists of, or when you're looking at, let's say, a Google photo frame, which I have, you don't necessarily want to see coffee rub, butcher cut, London broil, maple pastrami rib steaks. All that does is make me hungry. Anyway, small problems. Moving along, let's see. Firefox will be implementing Chrome's Manifest V3 extension specification.
I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, also this week, I haven't had a chance to try it. I'm a Firefox user, but they apparently did a major refresh that I know people have very mixed
feelings about. Yes, I don't like the new UI, not one bit.
Okay, I know a lot of people haven't, but I have not had a chance to use it. Therefore, I do not yet have an opinion. But so the Memphis v3 specification, they'll diverge from Chrome's implementation, including the declarative network request API, essentially, which provides access to potentially sensitive user data. So they're going to essentially support both the old. So they're essentially compromising. So it will be compatible, but there will be some differences. So cross-origin protections and various other things. But on a positive note, it means that there is less development for developers to support both browsers, because the specification will be the same, even though there might be some slightly different implementation details.
Okay. You say so. I'll trust you.
Along, despite Hangouts being dead or on a lingering death, apparently it's just reached 5 billion downloads. So people are still downloading it.
I think we have it installed, right?
On my phone right now, I don't.
Because I think I do.
I'm using Google Chat at the moment because I migrated over to that.
It's installed on mine.
Okay. No, I can install it again. I just figured I ended up installing Chat to try it out, and it seemed to do everything. So effectively, I'm still using the Hangouts network, but I'm using it through their newer app. In other news, apparently someone was issued a DMCA takedown notice for Ubuntu ISOs. So disk images for the Ubuntu operating system, which is indisputably not something that should get a DMCA takedown request, apparently got some from Comcast. We.
This is what happens when automated services go bad.
Yeah, I just thought I would sort of mention this because I think it's an example and proof that the DMCA system does not work the way that it's intended. And there's a bunch of reasons for that. Again, automation is one of them. But I think there are a bunch of flaws in how people have implemented the system overall. They make it too easy for malicious behavior. They make it too easy for annoying mistakes. And they make it too hard to actually fix those mistakes. Trying to protect people's intellectual property is not something I object to. It's just when you recognize there's a problem, you might want to actually try to fix it.
Yep.
Court documents disappointingly show that Google intentionally hid their privacy controls.
Say it ain't so.
Well, no, I would always defend Google because Google as a company always strikes me as the people who are a bit naive and, you know, just essentially think that they're doing the best thing and get into trouble because of it. Whereas I've always attributed this sort of behavior to Facebook, who's very clearly has a track record of intentionally doing this sort of thing instead of unintentionally. But apparently Google is getting into the period in their lives where I have to ask, are they doing things intentionally or unintentionally? And that's disappointing. Now, to Google's credit, they have pivoted and they have put in a lot more privacy controls. So regardless of whether they did this in the past, they seem to have gotten over that particular period. That doesn't give them a pass. At least I just feel better that they are now better.
Okay, cool. Okay.
And in one of my favorite stories, since, and this one I thought you would appreciate because I know you are a fan of Stargate. The city of Vilnius, Lithuania, built a portal to another city, and it looks like a Stargate.
That is straight awesome. Yeah, so this is basically, there's two round square or round obelisk type things. They have a camera and a round screen, and each one just shows what the other one's camera shows. See,
so it's kind of cool. One side is in Vilnius, and the other side is in Lublin.
I love this idea.
But have you ever been to Lublin, Jerry?
I have not.
By coincidence, I actually have. I've never been to Vilnius, but I have been to Lublin. I have pictures. Anyway, stories aside, it's interesting that you can do this, and I'd love it if more cities did this. You know, I think this is a really nice and simple piece of art And it's a nice installation that people can walk past and appreciate.
I agree. I love it.
We should build one. You start. Build a gigantic donut in your backyard with a screen in it.
Okay. Probably not.
Well, it is possible Stargate might come back. Amazon did finalize that deal to buy MGM. And if there's anybody who might have the pockets to consider bringing back the Stargate franchise, it would probably be Amazon Studios. I can't say they do it well. Who knows? But that is a distinct possibility. I think more people in the news were worried.
Wasn't it ruined years ago?
Depends on your perspective. I'm not a big James Bond fan, so I suppose that's something you'd have to ask somebody who's really in the franchise. But
yeah, I'm not really big on James Bond either.
Yeah, but I know that the people who care about James Bond do not want it to be turned into the let's release a movie every 5 minutes and, you know, 15 spinoff shows. I think they want it to be a more, you know, movies every few years type brand. And it's, you know, and again, not every company that took over a brand has the best track record. I seem to recall mentioning Star Wars as an example, and I'm not a Star Wars fan, but the feedback I heard is that some of the decisions that Disney made after they took over the franchise did not satisfy fans. Although I hear good things about The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian's good.
Haven't seen it. It was episodes 1, 2, and 3. It just, then I heard the new ones weren't so good, and I said, well, I don't know if I want to invest in this universe again. But anyway, that said, I'll just stick with what I'm doing. Paying the people at Paramount to give me more Star Trek. Anyway, let's see what else we have here. There's a nice article on how bad Google's photo compression is for their standard, what they now call storage saver quality. At least they finally admitted it shouldn't be called high quality. And one final story, big tech has sued your home state of Florida, saying that their new social media law violates the First Amendment.
Good.
As a Floridian, do you have any thoughts?
I think that the case and the law are substantially misrepresented in the news cycles, and that I think the law has an actually good chance of standing up. So,
even though there is a specific exemption for Disney, when you put an exemption for one specific, you know, type of company, that does seem like your law is not necessarily as fair as it could be.
Okay.
So just to quote the Ars Technica article, the law restricts the First Amendment rights of a targeted selection of online businesses by having the state of Florida dictate how these businesses must exercise their editorial judgment over the content hosted on their privately owned websites, according to the lawsuit.
But, you know, it doesn't have a Disney exemption. It has a theme park type exemption. So Disney, Universal.
So why are theme parks exempted?
Because they're a large part of Florida's economy.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it sort of questions the reasoning for a law if you've decided that a bunch of companies are exempted from it who do represent having large websites. And do some of those websites do have this type of content on them. Not to the degree of the companies that they're actually targeting.
Okay.
Either way, I will see what happens. I am not saying there shouldn't be laws in this area. I am saying that this particular law does seem to be poorly written.
As I said, it's misrepresented quite a bit.
Yep, and I did read some of the text of it. Lately, I have read a lot of interesting Florida law.
I'm sorry?
Every so often, I do actually read the texts of laws in various states when they come up on the news. I also recently read some New York law. most people do not read the actual law.
No, they don't. But so to be fair, it wouldn't really help most people to read the actual law because the English, from the way it's been explained to me, is that laws are not written to be interpreted by your layman humans. They're written to be interpreted by lawyers and by judges, and things that would appear to be common and, well, duh, that's what the law says, actually have different interpretations and meanings that are codified in centuries of jurisprudence. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's always, I absolutely agree, it is always better to go to the source material than to rely on somebody's interpretation of the source material because they interpret it, they filter. I misnoted that.
I just noted that it doesn't carve out an exemption just for the theme parks themselves. It carves out an exemption for any corporation that owns a theme park, which would include Comcast, since they ultimately, through various divisions, own the Universal parks. So are we saying that the entire NBC Universal family is exempted from any restrictions? Did they do something to prove that?
I don't know. Which kind of would make it, you know, fun if Facebook came down and opened up a Facebook.
I'd love to see that, though.
Or
just for the amusement, I want Zuckerland to open up.
Oh God!
No, not just I want one of these tech people to open up a theme park just for this purpose, just to sort of make the point that this is completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm saying this exemption. I don't necessarily like the law, but I'm saying this exemption proves that some of the people who wrote it didn't legitimately care about the topic that they claim to care about.
I disagree.
Okay. And I don't necessarily disagree with some of the statements. Again, you can have intents that you partially agree with and still think that a law is written poorly. And a lot of laws are.
I think that's kind of common. I mean, not only laws, but like bills. You know, we don't really pass bills that are pure. They tend to have a lot of riders. And you can agree with 95% of a bill with the general purpose of the bill and still not want it to get passed because of all the riders on it.
And I understand that. And then, you know, there's sort of the, what do you mean you're voting against the give all babies candy bill?
Pretty much exactly.
Yeah. Are you against giving babies candy?
Not are you against giving, do you hate babies? That's where that conversation would go.
No, but you know what I mean.
I do. You just didn't take it as far as it would be taken.
By the way, Daryl thinks that Zuckerland would quickly be overrun by advertising. But that would be a ride. You know,
South Carolina would be overtaken by what?
That Zuckerland would quickly be overrun by advertising.
Of course it would.
Yeah, but just remember, you know, think of all the interesting things that you could do with your Facebook theme park. For example, you know how when you get to the end of a theme park ride, they often take a picture and try to get you to buy a print? Instead, when you take the picture, it could automatically upload it to your Facebook account for only a small fee.
No, it wouldn't. No, there wouldn't be a fee. That would be the thing about Zuckerland is that for the people that come in, it would be completely free.
Oh, it costs money to leave?
But there would be facial recognition everywhere so that all the billboards would be targeted to you. Your movements would be tracked throughout. And
you mean your movements aren't tracked at Disneyland?
I don't know. Maybe they are.
If you want far. You mean an organization that until recently issued you a band for tracking purposes to wear on your arm?
Yep.
Okay. But they're not tracking you. Anyway. As I said, it's just unbalanced. But I do not want to go to a theme park run by Facebook, but I will have a certain amount of fun speculating what a theme park run by Facebook would be like. And you remember, Amazon might get in on the game also. How about this? They turn an Amazon fulfillment warehouse into a theme park. So not only do you get to have fun, but you get to help the packages go out. No?
Yay. That was funny.
Anyway, well, no, if I really wanted to get dark, I could talk about some of the accusations that have happened at Amazon warehouses and talk about that being a theme park. But anyway, so that brings us to the end of our show notes. Now, it's been a fun show, even though, again, some days I have more things to talk about than others. Next week, you get to hear if any of my improvement projects work. The only semi-exciting improvement project that I made was now the light in my hallway. I have two buttons there, and one turns the light on red for night vision, and the other turns on the light at regular color temperatures. So now I can wander in the middle of the night to the bathroom without destroying my night vision.
Cool.
Not the most exciting home automation improvement, but it satisfied the need.
I'm excited.
About my red light bulb?
I am, yes.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Maybe next week's light bulb will be green. Actually, it's a multicolored bulb. It could, in theory, be green now. What should make my hallway turn green?
Time to water the plants.
Oh, I gave up on plants. I'm not good with keeping pets. My father likes to remind me of when I was 5 and my gerbil died and I didn't notice for 2 days. In my defense, I thought he was sleeping. I haven't gotten better since then. Although I have not killed any gerbil.
Shall we call it a day?
I think when we get to, when we've gotten past Zuckerland, Amazon World, and dead gerbils, I think it's time for the end of the show.
Yep.
Now, a very special thanks to our active live YouTube chat, which is always on when we're on. And thanks to our two YouTube chatters. That would be Michael and Daryl. We appreciate your presence.
Right, we Jared? Do.
Yes, and I'm still trying to decide what I should, the next step should be about our possible semi-brand refresh for Techno Buffet. I'm not getting rid of Android Buffet. I just think it should be like a dual naming system so that people can find us both ways. But that means I probably have to track down our logo art.
All right.
So I will have to get to that at some point. Anyway, until next week.
Until next week. Bye, folks.
Goodbye.